5 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. Later today, Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the 45th U.S. president when he takes the oath of office on the steps of the U.S. Capitol here in Washington. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has our report.
Washington is a city in transition as the Barack Obama era draws to a close and the Donald Trump era is set to begin. Vice President-elect Mike Pence says the new administration is eager to get started.
We are all ready to go to work. In fact, we can't wait to get to work.
Trump is expected to focus on domestic policy in his first few months, especially job creation and cutting taxes. Jim Malone, Washington.
Outgoing U.S. Defense Chief Ash Carter says U.S. airstrikes have killed several dozen Islamic State fighters in two military camps about 545 kilometers southwest of the city of Sirte in Libya.
And a reminder to ISIL and many others that while the world doesn't rest from the transition here in Washington, neither does the Department of Defense.
The strikes were authorized by President Obama in what likely was the last military operation approved by the outgoing U.S. leader. Secretary Carter said the attack was in conjunction with Libya's UN-backed Government of National Accord. United Nations Security Council has recognized Adamo Barrow as Gambia's new president, while longtime leader Yahya Jammeh refuses to give up power. Barrow took the oath of office Thursday at the Gambian embassy in neighboring Senegal. ECOWAS, the African Union, and the UN Security Council have called in separate communiques for all necessary measures to support the Gambian people. This is VOA News. Iran's president has ordered an investigation into the collapse of a dilapidated high-rise commercial building in Tehran, an incident that left dozens of firefighters missing and feared dead. Semi-official Mehr News Agency said President Hassan Rouhani ordered his interior minister to investigate the causes of the accident, to identify those responsible, take care of the injured, and quickly compensate people for their losses. A fire broke out in the 17-story building, which opened in 1962. Iranian media said the fire spread quickly throughout the building, which hundreds of thousands of clothing garment manufacturers were involved there. Thousands were. Highly flammable textiles were stored. Right up until the end, al-Qaeda founder Osama bin Laden remained focused on striking the U.S., its Western allies, and governments seen as U.S. proxies, and he was leery of distractions that could weaken the terror group's resolve. Letters written by bin Laden were among almost 50 declassified documents released by the U.S. intelligence community. The document shed few new insights into bin Laden's thinking as he was found in his compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, where he was captured by U.S. troops in 2011. Later, he was killed. The 41st, U.S. President George H.W. Bush and his wife, Barbara Bush, are said to be on an upswing as they continue to receive treatment for illnesses. Bush family spokesman Jim McGrath says President Bush remains in intensive care at a Houston, Texas hospital being treated for pneumonia. McGrath said that former First Lady Barbara Bush, in her words, feels 1,000% better. She's being treated for bronchitis. McGrath was asked by reporters if President Bush might watch the Donald Trump inauguration.
I know if he's able to, he will. I know right now they've got him on some medicines that make him kind of sleepy. But I know he'll try to take in the festivities, as I think it's been widely reported by now that President Bush sent President-elect Trump a letter last week indicating that he was not going to be able to attend because of age and mobility issues. But he certainly wishes our incoming president well, because the incoming president, the new president's success is our country's success. And where that's concerned, President Bush doesn't care about party affiliation or anything else. You're our president, and we're behind you.
President Bush's son, the 43rd U.S. President George W. Bush, will attend the inauguration. Get more news at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Friday, January 20th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. West African leaders reportedly are giving one more chance to former Gambian President Yahya Jammeh to step down peacefully as Adama Barrow has been sworn in.
I, Adama Barrow, do swear that I will well and truly execute the function of the office. The office of the President of the Republic of the Gambia, but I will preserve and defend the Constitution, so help me God.
We'll get reactions from Gambians in Banjul to the inauguration of their new president. The African Union says any failure by former President Yahya Jammeh to peacefully yield power would be tantamount to a coup d'etat. The UN Security Council recognizes Adama Barrow as president of Gambia, and Burundi suspends the threat to pull its troops out of the African Union peacekeeping mission in Somalia.
We find a happy way to deal with this issue. So today, with this agreement, I think it's a win-win solution for everybody. The troops will be paid. The government is fully satisfied.
Choge Sebaelo is the commissioner of the African Union Peace and Security Council. The U.S. kills more than 80 Islamic State fighters in Libya, and Donald Trump will be sworn in today, Friday, as the 45th president of the United States. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's post in our Listener of the Day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. West African leaders have reportedly given one more chance to former Gambian President Yahya Jammeh to step down peacefully by noon today, Friday, or be removed through military force. ECOWAS troops led by Senegal have already crossed into Gambian territory. There are reports, however, that Guinean President Alpha Condé and Mauritanian President Mohamed Ould Abdel Aziz will travel to Banjul today for one more chance of mediation. Meanwhile, Adama Barrow was sworn in yesterday in the Senegalese capital, Dakar.
I, Adama Barrow,
do swear
that I will well and truly
execute the functions of the office of the President of the Republic of the Gambia. But I will preserve and defend the Constitution. And that I will do right. To all manner of people. According to law. Without fear or favor. Affection or ill will. So help me God.
Mr. Barrow thanked Gambians and most especially the opposition coalition that put aside its political differences and nominated him.
Fellow Gambians and friends of the Gambia, I humbly stand before you to address the whole world on this historic occasion. This is a day no Gambian will ever forget in one's lifetime. This is the first time since the Gambia became independent in 1965 that Gambia have changed their government through the ballot box. I must take this opportunity to thank the entire electorate of the Gambia and Gambians in the diaspora for making this day possible. I thank the entire campaign team of the Coalition 2016 and the stakeholders for putting aside their political differences to unite us for national interests.
The new Gambian president also thanked the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, the African Union and the United Nations for their defense of democracy in Gambia.
Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, allow me to raise a special appreciation to Her Excellency Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the President of Liberia and the Chairperson of the Authority of Head of State of ECOWAS, for her personal commitment and tireless efforts towards resolving the political crisis in the Gambia. The same sentiments goes to His Excellency Muhammad Buhari, the President of the Republic of Nigeria, His Excellency Ernest Bai Koroma, the President of the Republic of Sierra Leone, and His Excellency Dramani Mahama, former President of Ghana. I must also express profound gratitude to ECOWAS, AU, the Security Council, the United Nations, and all friendly nations who stood during our time of greatest need. I wish to thank His Excellency Macky Sall, President of the Republic of Senegal, for hosting
hospitality accorded to me and my delegation at the request of ECOWAS chair. This is what it means to be part of a community of democratic nations.
That was new Gambian President Adama Barrow speaking yesterday in Senegal during his inauguration. There was jubilation yesterday in the Gambian capital, Banjul, over the inauguration of their new president, Adama Barrow. VOA correspondent Katarina Hoye, who is in the Gambian capital, collected these reactions from Gambians.
This new president of the Republic of Gambia, new president, Mr. Barrow, new president.
I will never forget this year. I'm celebrating because we have a new president, Adama Barrow. I'm so happy to be a Gambian. I'm a Norwegian citizen, but now I am very happy to be a Gambian citizen. Thank you.
Glad to talk to you.
What do you do?
Well, I specialize in computers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Computer engineer?
Computer science.
Okay.
Yeah. Since 22 years, Gambian has gone on the horror, on the Yajame. We had opportunity for this time around to vote him out. Now we are trying to enforce what we did. That is, we voted him out. We voted him out. We want him to leave.
How will you welcome Barrow when he comes, President Barrow?
We are going to be jubilant. We're going to come out in massive numbers to welcome him to that place.
Some of the reactions from Gambians in Banjul to the inauguration of their new president, Adama Barrow. The African Union has again warned former Gambian President Yahya Jammeh that his failure to respect the Gambian constitution and peacefully yield power to now President Adama Barrow will be tantamount to overthrowing an elected government. Irasu Mwecha, deputy chairperson of the African Union, says the continental body has a policy of not recognizing any African leader who seizes power by force. Mwecha says the African Union fully supports the position taken by ECOWAS on the Gambia.
As you know, our Peace and Security Council met last Friday and issued a very strong statement. And in that statement, of course, not only supported the position of ECOWAS, but also went ahead to warn the government in Gambia, the regime of President Yahya Jammeh, that if anything happens that will cause harm or injury to the people, he would then be held personally responsible and that he must hand over power in time and in line with the outcome of the elections to respect the will of the people.
Does this mean that the African Union backed the threat made by ECOWAS of using military force in case Jammeh does not step down?
Well, everybody hopes that he's going to respect and heed the international community, and because what he's doing, it amounts to really overthrowing the constitution, because he has no other recourse, because there is no court ruling that guarantees him to stay in power. He doesn't even have a court that can support the process of what he's trying to cling to. And so the position is that, and you know, African Union has always taken a very strong position against overthrowing the constitution. The constitution must be respected. And so that is a very strong position that Africa has taken. And the chairperson has issued a statement calling on him strongly, but also warning that if he doesn't, then of course it amounts to overthrow of the government.
But Jammeh is saying that ECOWAS is not allowing the Supreme Court of the Gambia to hear his petition. I think that's his demand, that the court should be able to hear his petition challenging the results of the election.
But it's not ECOWAS to allow him. The Constitution of Gambia clearly says that if there is a petition, that petition can go on. But the inauguration must take place, and then the petition continues. You remember that was the case sometime in Ghana when there was a petition. The president was inaugurated, and the case continued. And so it is not for ECOWAS to allow for that. It is his constitution. The constitution is very clear, the constitution of Gambia.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. My pleasure.
Erastus Mwecha is the deputy chairperson of the African Union Commission. He was speaking with me from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, January 20th. Daybreak Africa time, 15 minutes past the hour. The UN Security Council has recognized Adama Barrow as Gambia's legitimate president less than 2 hours after he was inaugurated in exile. The council's political backing comes as Senegalese troops, supported by West African Regional Bloc ECOWAS, are reported to have crossed the border into Gambia to enforce the transfer of power. From the United Nations, viewers Margaret Bashir has more.
The 15-nation council unanimously supported a resolution condemning in the strongest possible terms attempts to prevent a peaceful and orderly transfer of power between longtime leader Yahya Jammeh, who refuses to step down, and Adama Barrow, who is the recognized winner of the December 1st presidential election. Council President, Swedish Ambassador Olof Skog, said the council's message is clear. The will of the Gambian people and the Gambian constitution must be respected.
It is our strong hope now that the former President Jammeh will peacefully cede power to the democratically elected president.
Council members Egypt, Uruguay, and Bolivia stressed that the resolution in no way authorizes military force to install Barrow as president. However, as he is now the legitimately recognized leader, he can request military assistance from ECOWAS directly without Security Council authorization. ECOWAS and the African Union Peace and Security Council have called for all necessary measures to be taken to enforce the election results. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Botswana is among the first African countries to officially recognize Adama Barrow as the legitimate Gambian president. This after Mr. Barrow was sworn in yesterday at the Gambian embassy in the Senegalese capital, Dakar. For more on the decision of Botswana to back the stance of both the African Union and regional bloc, the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, viewers Peter Clotte reached Jeff Ramsey, spokesman for the Botswana government.
First of all, I can confirm that that is indeed our position. It is also consistent with what we had said back in a previous press release in December 16th, 2016, when we said that if Jammeh did ultimately refuse to hand over power, we would indeed not recognize him as a legitimate president. But let me add that we've been, of course, watching events in that area, and really what we conceive of as our contribution is to assist our fellow Africans, particularly the multilateral efforts of ECOWAS and the African Union, to bring international pressure on Jammeh to hand over power. And we are quite aware that it's a tense situation there, and we hope and pray that he will see the light, that there's really no other alternative but for him to do the right thing.
What are your views about the stance taken by the African Union not to recognize Jammeh starting from January 19th as the legitimate president of the Gambia?
Yeah, I mean, that is our position, that he was the declared winner and he is being inaugurated today. Unfortunately, his inauguration is taking place in Senegal, but we hope that the situation will normalize itself in the Gambia. But obviously, we don't see ourselves as acting in isolation, but acting in broad support of regional efforts to restore constitutional rule, you could say, or to ensure constitutional succession in Banjul.
What are your views concerning ECOWAS, arguably referred to as the most effective regional body on the continent, to put pressure on Jammeh to relinquish power and to ensure that the will of Gambians who chose Adama Barrow as the next president or president to be effectively put in place to administer and run the affairs of the country?
We support ECOWAS efforts. Like I say, we know the situation's tense. We hope that the situation can end in a peaceful manner. Like I say, we're monitoring the events. But we do appreciate that ECOWAS has a strong record of regional interventions and upholding constitutional successions. I mean, we're quite aware of previous ECOWAS interventions, which in balance played a positive role in places like Liberia, Sierra Leone, and the likes.
Jeff Ramsey is the spokesman for the government of Botswana. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotte from the capital, Habaruni. Burundi has suspended its decision to withdraw troops from the African Union peacekeeping mission in Somalia. Burundi said earlier this week it was withdrawing its troops due to a dispute with the European Union over the payment of its soldiers. As Moses Havyarimana reports from Bujumbura, the decision to reconsider the troop withdrawal came after the visit of the African Union Peace and Security Council Commissioner to Burundi.
In December last year, Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza threatened to sue the African Union over failure to pay its peacekeeping troops in Somalia. The president said that Burundian forces serving under the African Union mission in Somalia, have gone more than 1 year without salaries. The African Union Commissioner for Peace and Security, Smail Shergi, made a 2-day visit in Bujumbura, where he met Burundi's first vice president and other government officials.
We find a happy way to deal with this issue in total cooperation with the European Union and the government here. So today, with this agreement, I think it's a win-win solution for everybody. The troops will be paid. The government is fully satisfied.
AMISOM pays its soldiers $1,028 per month. The respective governments then deduct $200 for administrative costs before remitting remaining amount to the soldiers. Burundi's first vice president, Gaston Sindimo, says that Burundi is ready to strengthen the ties with the African Union. He says what they agreed upon is that the Burundian troops in Somalia will be paid their money, and they won't be segregated from other peacekeepers in Somalia, and that Burundi now has suspended the withdrawal of troops. The European Union and Burundi relations deteriorated since 2015, when the European Union suspended all its aid to Burundi after the incumbent President Pierre Nkurunziza vied for another term in the office, which critics say violated the country's constitution. The African Union Peace and Security Commissioner said that now the issue has been sorted out and looking forward for a close collaboration in peacekeeping mission in Somalia.
Whatever we have reached is in full compliance with the memorandum we have signed with them when they put at our disposal these troops. And we are also not undermining our partnership with the European Union.
With 5,432 soldiers in Somalia, Burundi is the second leading contributor of troops under AMISOM after Uganda. Others are Kenya, Ethiopia and Djibouti. Moses Habyarimana, VOA Africa, Bujumbura.
In a new report, Human Rights Watch accuses Burundi's government of refusing to prosecute or rein in the ruling party's youth wing, which the rights group says is responsible for violence across the country. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
The name Imbonerakure means those who see far in Kirundi, the primary language of Burundi. But Human Rights Watch says what it sees is the ruling party's youth league committing atrocities across the country. Leslie Lefko is Deputy Africa Director for Human Rights Watch.
These are very serious allegations, and the cases that we've documented are likely, you know, a fraction of the wider pattern of abuses. It's very clear that Imbonerakure members seem to have almost virtually complete impunity to commit abuses in Burundi at the moment.
HRW says its findings are based on interviews conducted over the past 3 months, in which it documented scores of cases of killings, torture, and severe beatings. Specifically, HRW says Imbonerakure members beat a 15-year-old boy to death with clubs, cut out a man's eye and then stomped him to death, and have attacked people with knives, clubs, and wooden poles, among other abuses. The rights group alleges members have also set up unofficial roadblocks in various provinces to sometimes detain and beat passersby, in addition to stealing money and possessions. Attempts to reach Burundi's presidential, police, and ruling party spokespersons for a response to these allegations were unsuccessful. According to Human Rights Watch, sources say they have lost confidence in the justice system, which they believe cannot help victims and may even be implicated in abuses.
These cases point to a deeper climate of fear. There is a complete loss of confidence in law enforcement, in the judiciary, because people believe that any politically sensitive cases are going to be led by ruling party policy.
HRW is asking authorities to immediately and publicly order Imbonerakure members to stop illegally detaining, ill-treating, and extorting money from the population. It wants the judiciary to investigate and prosecute those responsible for the crimes and for the government to remove the illegal roadblocks. In addition, HRW is calling for individual targeted sanctions against those responsible for serious human rights violations at the highest levels. Burundi's current crisis began in April 2015, when President Pierre Nkurunziza announced his controversial bid for a third term. A recent report from human rights groups says that more than 1,000 people have died and hundreds have gone missing. The government has announced it will leave the International Criminal Court, while the ICC is still deciding whether to launch a full investigation into alleged atrocities. A European Parliament resolution Thursday called on the UN Security Council and the ICC to quickly open a full investigation. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Today, Friday, billionaire real estate mogul Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States when he takes the oath of office on the steps of the U.S. Capitol in Washington. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on a week of change in the nation's capital.
Washington is a city in transition as the Barack Obama era draws to a close and the Donald Trump era is set to begin. Vice President-elect Mike Pence says the new administration is eager to get started.
We are all ready to go to work. In fact, we can't wait to get to work for the American people to make America great again.
Public opinion polls show Trump comes into office with the lowest approval ratings of any new president in four decades. But Trump continues to be upbeat about the challenges ahead, especially creating jobs. And he spoke about it during last week's news conference.
So there's a great spirit going on right now, a spirit that many people have told me they've never seen before, ever.
In his final news conference as president, Barack Obama offered his successor some advice.
This is a job of such magnitude that you can't do it by yourself. You are enormously reliant on a team.
Trump is expected to focus on domestic policy in his first few months, especially job creation and cutting taxes. But lots of questions remain about what direction he will pursue in foreign policy, says analyst John Fortier with the Bipartisan Policy Center.
We know something about the general direction of Donald Trump's foreign policy, but we don't know a lot of the details. And seeing him flesh that out and deal with the problems of the world and see how he said he is different than even a traditional Republican will be something that we will all watch closely.
American Enterprise Institute analyst Michael Barone says, though the divisive presidential campaign is history, Trump's low approval ratings suggest there's much work to be done in uniting the country behind his agenda.
We're more in an era of bad feelings now. The country can rally in a united way. We saw that after the attacks of September 11th, 2001, and I think in a very serious way. But there's these divisions that exist.
Hundreds of thousands of Trump supporters are expected in Washington for Friday's inauguration and the new president's first address. But at least 50 congressional Democrats have said they will stay away from the inauguration in protest, ensuring that the polarized politics on display during last year's presidential campaign will extend into the early days of the new administration. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. U.S. B-2 bombers and military drones carry out airstrikes on Islamic State Group military camps late Wednesday, about 45 kilometers southwest of the city of Sirte in Libya. And that's it for this Friday, January 20th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing everyone in Africa a very good weekend.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
On Friday, January 20th, all eyes will be on Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of the 45th U.S. President, Donald J. Trump. Be a part of history. Join VOA for 2 hours of special live coverage broadcast on radio and television and available on the internet at voanews.com. Tune in Friday, January 20th, starting at 1600 UTC.